There was a time when we welcomed change, when we bounded through piles of golden leaves and relished the chill in the air. There was a time when masterpieces opened our minds and transformed our hearts. It was a time of renewal. It was fall, this fall, at Biltmore. Plan your visit or overnight stay so you can bask in the magnificent works of Chihuly and savor the season. Reserve now to get fall savings at Biltmore.com.
Wow, I'm watching this on LinkedIn right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That is so hot. I am watching the greatest
Don't say
game
it's
ever.
Hot? That's weird.
It's so sexy.
You don't see my avatar.
Do we want to wait for the room to fill up?
Hell no.
What are some emerging technologies in the online media space? This is a post idea on the shutdown forecast.
It's very important to convey to your employees as a basic principle of the company that we're going to eliminate all of the employees. That's the most important part here. We are about people, and that's why we're getting rid of
them. I am watching it also.
I'm excited to see Alabama embrace AI as in, hey, I fucking hate Tommy Rees. Let me tell you what.
Yeah, you know, I'm into GPT, and that's, you know, getting pretty tired of this offense.
Do you know what the best / saddest part of all this is?
There's so many ways this could go.
Yeah.
Is that Bama lost at home to Texas. I don't know if y'all saw.
What?
Noticed.
And it did not move any of us to say, we should bump up the showtime.
Yeah.
All right. So Spencer, you shout welcome, and then Jason and I have a thing we want to dive right into this a little.
Yeah, that, Holly, you bring up an important point. We'll get right to it.
Well, that's I promise not to do that again.
Forecast After Dark for men.
Welcome to the Fullcast After Dark.
Hee-haw. Okay, so before we started recording, Jason got on and I said to him, I feel weird because this is the least excited or jazzed I've felt about an Alabama loss in I don't remember how long. And Jason, you said
I felt exactly the same way. Then we decided to discuss, and then Holly said basically the same thing moments ago. So Spencer, let's check in with you as well. Did this feel like a lesser Bama loss to you?
In terms of emotional satisfaction, absolutely. In terms of historical significance, something we can discuss, more significant than others. But yes, emotionally, a bit of a B-tier at best Alabama loss in the pantheon of satisfying Alabama losses.
And that's none of that is Texas's fault.
The part where they lost is definitely Texas's
fault. Okay, yeah, that's a good point. That's a very
good Bama point. Loss of this magnitude, losing at home, they never lose at home, losing this badly at home. This I believe the stat was their worst home loss since 2004.
They haven't lost a regular season non-conference game since the Louisiana Monroe loss.
Yeah, like this should feel like a complete game changer, but it doesn't hit even to the degree of like a normal Bama loss. And honestly, I think that, are we supposed to say the Coors Light thing?
Oh yeah, we had some billboards for tonight. Doug, you had those, right?
So this show is brought to you by Coors Light. How cool it is to, the mountains are not red because Bama lost. In fact, they're blue because Coors Light is so fucking cold. Unlike Nick Saban's seat, brother, because that thing is warm.
It's about to heat up. I don't trust a man named Tommy who weighs 170 pounds and fits in normal pants.
I think the thing with this loss is the reason it hits less is Georgia won 2 straight national titles. So like beating Georgia is the bigger deal right now. But Bama looks so fucking flawed. and not flawed in the usual Bama fan sense where it's like, oh, we have one DB who's only a 99, not a 100. And like, stop crying, you babies. Like that usual Bama fan bullshit they've done for years and years. Like, it's real now. Their offensive line is subpar. Like, their quarterback, he can throw it deep. He's awesome at it. I don't know if he can do much of anything else. Defense had gaping holes in it all night long. Bama has actual flaws. Like, this does not look like beating a perfect football device. It looks like beating a top 10 team.
Normally to beat Bama, unless with, let's take the national championships away, because like when Clemson beat Bama, like that was just an ass kicking, just up and down the field when in the infamous fake field goal kicker lead blocker game. Was there anything Texas did in this game that was like, holy shit, what a like heroic moment. What a like absolute legendary thing they did to try it. Like, they had some big plays, but like Alabama was the one that had to do like weird Ole Miss style. Like, oh fuck, we're not dead. You know, like Texas wasn't the team that had to do that.
Oh, he called you Ole Miss, Bama. Goddamn.
I was going to say, actually, brother, let's walk that one back a little bit.
That was brutal. Drop the fucking leg on him. Yeah, like, Texas just kind of went out there and slung it. That's it. And, you know, then just sort of sent a whole bunch of guys after Bama's quarterback. Ball game.
This is fucked up to say. I don't look at that and be like, wow, that's the best game I've seen Texas ever play.
No.
They played very well.
They left a lot of points out there.
Yeah.
It could have been much worse. Yeah.
They really did. Can I walk you through just a brief little contest here, okay? Just by position, okay? Who looked better? Quarterbacks, Texas or Alabama?
I'm gonna say Texas by a little bit.
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Running backs.
Texas. I don't recall Alabama's doing anything tonight.
Nobody's looked. I wouldn't say anybody looked amazing running back wise. But
yeah, you know what? It's 105. Texas was better. It's 105, 107 in terms of yardage, and
Bama actually averaged more, but most of that is. Just one or two. Yeah, there wasn't a lot of running.
Well, also a lot of Bama's rushing attack was the quarterback, not the running backs.
I will say Texas has looked better because pass pickup is an important part of playing running back, and
sure.
I'm gonna attribute some of that blame to Bama's running backs.
Well, and also and Texas did have to do the thing where they were like, all right, we're gonna put it on the ground to end the game. And they did that successfully. Like, that's not a thing that's always easy to do against Bama. So yeah,
I got three. To keep it simple, I've got three more categories. Okay.
Yeah.
Receivers.
If we're including tight ends, then Texas is for sure.
Yeah.
I don't even think you have to do that. Yeah. A.D. Mitchell's on the other team. Jatavion Sanders, yeah, as well. But yeah, receivers advantage Texas. Defense. This is the one that if Nick Saban hears it, it's going to make him it's going to crack something in him.
It's not even close. It's not even close. Not even
Let's
close.
Go five sacks to zero sacks.
Nine tackles for loss to two tackles for loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That would be the Texas Longhorns, which were the clear superior.
But who was the better kicker?
That's right. That's right. Finally, after all these years of Bama being bad at only one thing, now they're good at only one thing, and it's kicking.
Punting
three
too,
for
baby.
Three with Punting. A long of 51.
James Burnett was bombing them, y'all.
52.6 average on the punts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Three inside the 20. Mm-hmm.
Frankly, that's a Florida Gators team profile.
Hey, if we're gonna read box scores, can I make a request?
Yeah,
sure.
Can we go back to Clemson?
Are we today, Clemson?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Sure.
Did you see this?
I mean, which part? I saw. I saw a lot of the first half.
I mean, let's just take a gentle or Spencer. Let's take us on a gentle tour. through Clemson, Charleston, Southern. And don't worry, Bama, we'll come back to you.
Oh yeah, we'll come back to you. This is one. So you should know that after the first quarter, it was tied 14-14. That's funny. That was deeply funny anyway. And you should know that for a long time, this game until the third quarter was pretty tight. It was 24-17. And
that's not really the funny parts, though.
No. You know, I thought that was pretty amazing.
Well, okay.
What do you find delightful? Is it Charleston Southern's 73 yards of offense and still hung around for a lot of this game?
Charleston's 73. It's more when you start comparing totals.
Mm-hmm. Oh, team. Yeah. This was
more where you like start reading. If this makes sense, start reading the box score side to side.
First down.
That's where it really starts to sparkle.
First downs. Clemson.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah, Clemson, here we go.
36 first downs. The Charleston Southern Buccaneers. Four.
Here, wait. Let's play a game. Is anybody not looking at the box score now?
No, I am, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, but if you the team stats page, if you're playing along at home, is where this really shines. Clemson passing yards 405. Charleston Southern passing yards 61. Clemson won 66-17, but the real charm of this is that looking at like the first half breakdown. Where I don't think Charleston Southern had a first down and they were leading.
Didn't need it.
No.
Sorry. They were leading in the most important stat, which is grit.
What a weird game. Like Clemson's commitment to weird games is definitely going to be
this sickos markup earlier. Okay, so with 14 seconds left in the first, our dear dumb children at the sickos committee pulled up the box score at just the right moment. So tied 14-14, basically at halftime. First downs, Charleston Southern, 0. Clemson, 12. Total yards, Clemson, 198. Charleston Southern, 6. Time of possession, Clemson, 11-26. Charleston, 3-20.
Yeah, superb work. Superb work, Charleston Southern. I don't care what the box score says. You were leading in the most important category, which is Clemson, winning, not like, grit.
Clemson really managed to make a 66-17 win look like weird and stinky. that's fucking talent, man. That's entertainment.
They managed to have a moment of stress in the Charleston Southern game. That's astonishing.
You know who had the worst day of all, though?
I have many, many answers for
Here's my candidate, and I'm not even being facetious here. Anybody who showed up to the Virginia Tech Purdue game endured like a 6-hour delay?
Yeah.
And then had to watch their team fall behind. I think it was they fell in a 17-0 hole. They climbed back out of that to make it 17-17 at halftime, and then they lost when they got outscored 7-0 in the fourth quarter. The Virginia Tech experience. What an absolutely shitty day you had if you went to that game.
There was also, by the way, I think I would say another loser in this, even though they won the game, would be Boston College, because they also had a lengthy weather delay.
Everybody had a fucking weather delay. It was not crazy today.
Not that, by the way, the Boston College one, I'm only mentioning for this. There were people like showing their ass, literally running around the field at Boston College, because there might have been 50 people left in that stadium.
And barely beat Holy Cross is a good FCS team, but
yeah.
But barely won that. Virginia totally blew several chances to beat JMU. Didn't do that.
What else these weather delays did was created a logjam when they all started back up in the afternoon slate.
It was pretty good.
Of all the times when it would have been handy to have, I don't know, some kind of quad box service on a major television provider that you could choose which games to watch in each of the four slots.
My version of YouTube TV lets you can choose which quad box you want, but you can't pick the slot. It's just like, and it's a weird sort of like, aha, one of these must be this terrible game that you don't want to watch.
I just want to talk to whoever puts those things together. Like, I appreciate that it exists, and I get why they're not customizable, because they want it to be, because like not every remote could work with a, you know, customizable quad box. I get it.
Yeah.
But they need help putting those things together, like in the middle spot, which would have been perfect because you had Elastico, Miami, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Tulane. Like there were easily four games of interest in that spot. It was perfect quad box material. But I swear everyone had fucking Wagner Navy in it.
Right.
You know, and there was only one with Elastico in it out of the like 20 of them.
Okay.
Whoever puts those things together is a Wagner fan, I guess.
By the way, according to Hokie Hero, Virginia Tech replaced their quarterback on the last drive.
Huh.
You know what?
Go get it, kid.
Sure.
Great job.
Sure. I will say I did appreciate that Quadbox at one point was letting me watch the US Open Women's Championship match as one of my quads.
So we're ranking Coco in the top 25 this week.
So that was worthwhile. All right, Jason brought it up. So it's time to talk about El fucking Asico.
Sure. First note, of course, Brian Ferentz did not accrue 25 points for the second straight week. He is behind.
He's down.
But he's dancing very... so close. Like, whoever came up with 25, like, fucking knew how to set this line.
Oh, so it's that just it tantalizing.
So that it would be interesting it's always a little, it's always there. Like, there's always, they just need one drive. And then they just don't get that one drive.
Yeah, Brian Ferentz currently 6-under going into the third round of the tournament.
I do think that's so. Iowa State on their, I think, penultimate drive of the game was taking forever. And they ended up scoring a touchdown.
Eight minutes.
Right. And the broadcast is like, what the hell is Iowa State doing? They're playing like they're ahead. And in actuality, I'm like, I think they want to fuck with Brian Ferentz. I think they're
Brian Ferentz.
Yeah.
They want them to hire a good offensive coordinator so they can win, as opposed to the bad offensive coordinator. They're like, I think they've got the retrograde logic here completely understood. And I think they understand it all too well, that they need somebody who wants to score points so that they can win, because the only team that compares is Iowa State.
The other thing Iowa keeps doing is like putting up good first half numbers. And granted, one of these was a pick six, but like they had 17 points at halftime. I'm pretty sure they scored on their first two possessions last week against Utah State. So they keep being like, uh-oh, well, this is where Brian lets it rip. This is where shit gets awesome. And then it's like, nope, 3 points in the second half. Here's your 20. Brian Ferentz should absolutely, he's king of blackjack is what he is.
Yes, those in the chat, defensive touchdowns count. So
absolutely,
Iowa
yes.
getting the pick six today is the only thing that got them close to the 25. Up next, they have Western Michigan. God, you better be able to break 25 against Western Michigan, because after that, you're going to fucking Penn State. You're going to score 4 points against Penn State. Like, you're going to be in the hole pretty soon if you don't run it up against WMU.
Penn State will try to hand that game to you, but you don't have to let them.
The other half of Elastico, I feel like every version of this game now amounts to Iowa State plays terribly for three quarters, does just enough in the fourth quarter where you're like, uh-oh, maybe they are going to pull this out, and then like has the least interesting. In this case, it was a fourth and one run that like lost 3 yards. Like they I cannot remember. Iowa State always like does the like a hero's return, and then the hero like throws up and chokes on his own vomit.
It's a very mythic quest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, shouts out to all the Iowa State fans shooting the middle finger at any politician within range.
God, there were a lot of them.
There were so many fucking political ads in this game.
Oh, okay. We saw the one. I had never heard of this person. Okay. We saw a presidential ad for a dude I fucking never heard of. Yeah, right?
Who is it?
He has a really weird, he has a head shaped like a Mars Attacks alien.
What's this person's name? I want to see.
I don't remember. Okay. I already don't.
Somebody,
I
in, the already chat, don't somebody remember. In the chat will go ahead and put Ron, Perry Johnson. Perry? It is Perry Johnson.
Perry Johnson? Who the fuck is Perry Johnson?
I don't know, but you'll love it. He rephrased the whole entire, like, he's like, hey, are you tired of the government? Do you hate doing stuff? The ad then went on
like,
to.
It sounds like one of our fucking bits.
Yeah, the ad then recontextualized the entire January 6th incident as, hey, grandma and grandpa just wanted to look and see if, you know, what was up. They just wanted some answers.
And now they're getting 70 years in jail. And we're like, sounds pretty good. And
yeah. I scrolled through Politico's list of the 2024 GOP candidates to find this guy. He's very last. Their write-up includes his winning path. Actually getting on the ballot would be a good start. So yeah. sounds like Perry's bit of a long shot.
He did. He has participated in the World Bridge Championships on 6 occasions, though, and he finished 8th overall in the 1998 championship in France.
Heck, we're talking about him right now.
That's right.
We're
talking about him right now.
Under the program, Bubba Prague also informed us earlier that this was a national Fox buy from him. Oof.
Okay.
Sure.
Like he didn't just like buy this ad in Iowa for Elastico. He bought it everywhere.
Hey, speaking of money wasted, I would like to go ahead and talk about the subject of Texas A&M. Yeah.
Thank you.
There you go.
All right.
Well, why? What's funny about Jimbo flailing against a resurgent Miami team while Florida State is also good?
Can we talk about the Here are some things Miami did in this game. They had a punt blocked. They muffed a punt return. They missed a 54-yard field goal. They had 10 penalties for 115 yards.
Awesome.
Canes are back.
They went 3 of 9 on third down. And you know what? They won this shit easily. It didn't matter in the fucking slightest.
Not at all.
Hey, do we have a Kim Kitchens update?
I will delegate myself to that. I will.
Okay, I know that Mario said at the end that he was apparently awake and talking to the trainers when they took him to the locker room, but there was a scary, scary hit on Miami's superhuman safety at the end of the game, and he was carted off. Folks in the chat are saying he's okay. Awesome. Okay.
Yeah, he's smiling on a FaceTime call with Gilbert Furson. So,
oh, that's the best possible news.
Yeah. So non-specific, but good news on Cam Kitchens.
Yeah.
But
how tall is he? How tall is he again?
Is he the 6'5" one?
Is he the one who's like, yeah, is he the one who's like built like Predator?
I love the idea of a 6'5" safety because he could just kind of like, he can provide run support by kind of just like.
No, never mind. He's the other one. This is why I really love Miami safeties, because they have one who's 6'5" and they have Cam Kitchens who's 5'11".
Yeah, his name's not, for the chat, not Kitchens, Kinchens.
Kinchens.
Yes. Yeah.
Did I say Kitchens?
No. I think people just, you know. You know, NFL season here, so everybody's thinking about Freddie Kitchens because you want to feel
ancient. Jay Feely's fucking kid is kicking for Colorado.
Yeah, that's true.
God.
So I want to paint the picture for you, by the way, in a couple of very specific instances from this A&M Miami game. Hey, it was 4th and 1, and the Aggies needed the ball. They needed to go ahead and convert in order to keep the game.
Wait, they going. Had the ball?
They had, yeah.
Okay,
they,
okay.
They had,
okay, you
sorry,
said they needed the ball, and that made me
no,
think they're
third
defense.
And one. Well, they needed the ball because they need to extend this drive. Third and one. Okay, okay. Third and one at A&M's 43 in the third quarter, and the score is 31-26. Brothers and sisters, that's a five-point game. We call that a cinco, because that's Spanish for close. And they needed one, and they ran. And Amari Daniels came around. And first of all, Miami's defensive line beat ass all game long. They bounced Amari Daniels out to the left, exactly what they should do. Jaden Davis met Amari Daniels, and oh my God, the most perfect crown on ball placement combined with a massive hit of incredible force I've seen in years. Just like textbook fuck you defense, followed up by a beautiful scrum for the ball with no fewer than 28 Miami defenders running off the bench to get it. Like, exactly. Like, what are these two teams right now? That. Like, A&M need a 3rd and 1, and they were never going to get it. They could have run that play 50 times in a row, and Miami would have caused a fumble 49 out of 50.
Just want to note to everyone who is panicking because apparently the Twitch stream went down. That's why you should have been watching on LinkedIn.
That's right.
Yep. The serious business stream. Also, I appreciate all the people saying, what the fuck, they have good audio. It's almost like Twitter's audio last year wasn't our fucking fault.
So Miami-Texas National Championship is what I'm hearing.
Hmm. That's like, you take the horns that are down, mm-hmm. and you flip them up.
Yeah. And they become a U. A beautiful
U.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, the whale slap ad is back.
That's true.
It's been like 5 years. I was really happy to see that.
That's how I know this is going to be a heater of a year.
The whale is running for the GOP nomination.
When was the last whale slap song year?
It feels like it's been like 4 or 5 years, right? Like they've had Pacific Life commercials, but not the good one.
Right.
I feel like it's been a lot longer than that.
I don't know.
It might be. Like it's been several years. But yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that's a good harbinger. The SEC is leaking everywhere, leaking points, leaking prestige. Mm-hmm. The whale slap returns to Seattle just as real whales are, you know, rising up against mm-hmm. their oppressors in the seas.
Mm-hmm.
And Gandalf the Grey rides to Isengard to ask what the fuck is up with that Fox graphics package.
Gandalf the Grey whale.
Oh, you mean Fox presented by Crazy Taxi? You don't like that?
All right, I'm on board now.
Yeah, no, in.
Let's go with Bootleg Young Life.
Now I want Gus Johnson in the Offspring song. Wow, 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 wow.
That's how good today was.
Bring it all the way back to Pizza Hut.
Dude, Gus today was, I've never heard Gus be this angry at a player. He sounded like Gary Danielson talking to Tennessee.
Who was he mad at?
A quarterback on a football team.
Oh. Well, you know what? God.
We could talk about it.
That was a weird fucking game.
I didn't mean to actually get into that game. Like, watching Nebraska at this point, like, the act of watching in itself feels like bullying.
So a couple of things. One, Nebraska's defense should be fucking livid. In the first half, Colorado's average field position on the 7 drives they had was their own 48. And Nebraska managed to hold them to 13 points. But their offense is a goddamn nightmare. Nebraska's offense this season has had 23 drives, and 8 of them have ended in a turnover. It's fucking nonsense.
What are you supposed to do? Like, that's how do you keep your from a psychological? We're on LinkedIn, right? From a psychological, yes. industrial psychology standpoint, yes. How do you keep the two halves of your locker room together while this is happening?
There were footballs like bouncing off of guys going in motion, like every way you could fuck up a snap. Nebraska did it.
And once again, Matt Rhule could do nothing. Matt Rhule could be at a barbecue right now.
Right, yes. Matt Rhule chose, instead of simply spending the Carolina Panthers money, to accept the Nebraska Cornhuskers money to field this product in which like snapped balls are just bouncing off of everything in sight. Honestly, watching this game was the worst I've felt for a quarterback since Kirk Cousins had to play Alabama or since the Reggie Ball era. Like, that was how... just like, please end this game.
No, I wasn't joking earlier. I felt bad continuing, like, the act of continuing to watch it made me feel bad. Like, I felt like a bad person.
They are just like, and their defense is good. Like, their defense was good in the Minnesota game. They played very well in the first half of this game. And then I think they just decided, like, fuck this. I'm not going to be the only one working on this group project. I hate all of you.
Listen, I really love Nick Fitzgerald, the guy who used to play QB for Mississippi State, but when he threw the ball, it looked like he had a hoof for a hand, and that's pretty much the closest comparison I have.
If you had hooves, you could probably do shovel passes at least.
Yeah, that's the closest.
I saw at least one of those go awry.
Jeff Sims.
Someone in the chat asks why we're not happy about Nebraska's.
No, that's how bad this was.
Right, exactly. Like, we have spent 3 years Nebraska as one of our, like, go-to punchlines. And we feel bad for Nebraska.
Yeah,
this that's was how bad horrifying.
Was. Yeah.
And also, and not for nothing, but it has provided for the second week in a row. I'm not trying to bring everybody down. I know we're having a good time. And I know they have some super talented players on there. These are some wild data points to be plotting Colorado from.
Yeah.
I feel like the bottom is going to fall out of this, and it has nothing to do with Colorado or the coach or anything like that, but everything to do with we have no idea who they've played, and it's about to be week 3.
I think there are two counterpoints to offer. One, in both games that they played, I would argue that they improved in the second half over the first half.
That is uh-huh. very true. That's the one thing I would say in their favor. That was the one thing I would say that I'm confident about.
And the other thing is that as weird as this game was, and as weird as the TCU game was in some regard, Colorado has already shown us they can win two different kinds of game. And that's not nothing. Like,
no, that is true.
And
that makes me feel better. And it's not that I'm trying to find a reason to poke a hole in this Colorado thing. It's that I am terrified that we are walking out onto an unknown bridge with unknown suspensions. Like, I'm not arguing that I know and you don't. Right. I'm arguing that it's impossible to know Colorado.
Yes.
I think the thing with them right now is they are the team that everyone must have an opinion on. Like, uh-huh.
You must have a huge opinion. Like, it has to be either Colorado's going to win the playoff and somehow mm-hmm. three Heismans this year, or Colorado is all bullshit and the worst thing that's ever happened to college football.
Well, and after what happened, and after the team that they played last week was like a super weird team to open with, given what had happened to that team the last time we saw them. So what did they do this week? Entered an even weirder game.
Yeah.
Like, this is the team that if you're a hardcore college football fan, all the casuals in your life approach you to ask, is this real or not? And you're mm-hmm. expected to know.
Dude, my father is texting me from Norway trying to figure this out today.
Holly, the point you make about their opponents is it's what I was thinking about watching this game. There is no way to know a team that played TCU's defense and Nebraska's offense.
Right.
Yeah. You cannot know what to make of that team.
Picture this on graph paper. You don't know where to put them because you don't know where to put TCU, and you don't even know what to draw for Nebraska. It's not a dot. Is it a squiggle? Is it a question mark? Do you poke a hole in the paper with your pen?
Is it paper?
You do the Superman S, but you accidentally fuck it up so it looks like a P instead.
So anyway, like I fuck up. Listen, I love Colorado like as a school and as a team, and I want them to succeed.
Hey, but guys,
like,
I'm sorry, can I amp up the weirdness here? Just
please,
in case the weirdness.
You interrupt me? Yeah, sure. What's that on there?
Touchdown, Cal.
Hey!
Oh, no. Right,
so let's check in on the Pac-12 today.
Well, the dream of the perfect Pac-12 is fucking dead because Arizona.
Well, let's see how close we got.
I know.
That's an ACC team. We decided in the pre-show.
So UCLA handled San Diego State, Colorado, of course. Honestly, the score looks great against Nebraska. Wazoo held off Wisconsin. Oregon came back against Texas Tech. Utah came back against Baylor. Washington handled Tulsa. Cal has what? So they've scored. Do I have that right?
And that's I'm still seeing 7-3. If Spencer is right, it's 10. It's about to be 10-7.
I'm watching it right now. It's 10-7 with 4:27 left.
Okay.
Arizona State is currently leading Oklahoma State. Oregon State, of course, is handling UC Davis. USC is even defeating the ACC team Stanford. So it really could end up that the Pac-12 could have been perfect through week two, if not for Arizona falling in overtime against Mississippi State, which Arizona covered. They got to overtime. It's an encouraging performance.
And they had to come back from, 21 down to force overtime?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, honestly, this is a really good day for Arizona, except they fucked up Pac-12 perfection.
You almost let me forget about it, but now I didn't. Baylor, I'm sorry.
Oh, man. Can we talk about Utah's last play call?
Sure, please.
Yeah.
I think we were around this 12 times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Utah, no T, defending a Baylor team that a Baylor team that got a lucky shot downfield and managed to the very tail end of the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
Got a lucky shot downfield and was within striking distance of, a good Hail Mary opportunity. Right. And what would you do? You might play prevent, right? You might play, a deep zone. You might move everyone back to the goal line, right? That's what that's what you might do. You know what Utah did? Engage 8, baby. Engage fucking 8. Nukes away.
Can I defend this call? Okay, I asked if we could go through this just so I could defend this call on the part of Kyle Whittingham. Okay, stressful situation. You're losing to goddamn Baylor after your star turn in week one. What do you do in the... I'm not sure that there's a better call in the heat of the moment than putting your players in a position to do what they love best.
Yeah, sure.
right?
Sure.
Like it feels like a microcosm of like putting your players in the best possible position to succeed. Like, I'm not mad at this. It didn't work. I'm not mad at it though.
I mean, pass and complete.
Yeah, shit worked. Scoreboard says it worked.
Yeah, they were on the Utah 22. It wasn't even like he had to like put his ass into the throw. But on the Utah 22, Utah was like, hey, you know what got us here? Mindless aggression.
Uh-huh.
It's beautiful.
So you put them in the play that you know for sure that they can execute.
It's
an emotional blitz, but unlike Todd Grantham, thank you, Freedom Cripple. It's an emotional blitz, but unlike Todd Grantham, I don't hate it.
Also, unlike Todd Grantham's blitzes, they actually affected the quarterback.
Where is Todd Grantham? Have we done this game recently?
Oh God, we should probably find out. Hang on.
Defensive line coach for the New Orleans Saints.
Oh well, what a perfect place for him. Jason, how are you taking this news?
I welcome this news.
a team that hasn't had any problem with emotional violence ever. So, what else we got?
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus, special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
Oh, here's a fun one. Obviously, Michigan hasn't played anybody of extreme importance yet, let's say. No disrespect to ECU. J.J. McCarthy has thrown 55 passes this season, and he's completed 48 of them. It's just very funny to me. Aww. That's all.
You know, it's all... Never mind.
Live update, by the way. Stanford 0, USC 35... With 9:23 left in the second.
Yeah, Alex Grinch, I think, knew that this was going to be on a network people could actually get. Because right now, Stanford is 3 of 9 passing for 50 yards and a pick.
Now that's the Stanford I know.
Yeah.
We should recognize the one true team of Houston this evening. Thank you, sad TCU fan.
Did you lose? This is a simple quiz. Did you lose to food? Houston, check yes. Lost to food.
Not the first time Houston's lost to food.
Tennessee almost lost to pee.
I don't want to talk about it.
That score looked quite rough for a while.
There's going to be a meme coming out. God, I watched almost all of this. There's going to be a meme coming out of this game, but I got to tell you, this is not a case of Joe Milton overthrowing every receiver. There were balls going behind. He threw behind him a bunch, but there were so many weird drops, and there was some weird officiating. And Austin Peay came with their fucking hair on fire, and they absolutely deserve to win this game. But I don't feel like we should make jokes, because you can imagine that if Tennessee and Florida are both this bad for this whole year, this podcast is going to sink to new depths of unbearability.
That's all right. We'll become a Falcons podcast.
Yeah, all right.
I wanted to cite one. You know, this was a day where I think there were a lot of extremely tough losses for people, but a little lining, silver lining, if I can put this on it, for UVA. They did lose to James Madison. A little bit of intra-state violence between two Virginia schools. But I think they found their quarterback. This is the classic, like, hey, you might have lost the game, but you found a quarterback. And I only want to mention him because... his name is Anthony Calandria. He is from St. Pete. He played for Lakewood in Pinellas County.
He is the most hyped up white boy on the planet. It's beautiful.
He has individual handshakes for his linemen. As a freshman. He has individual handshakes for his linemen. He did the big man flex after throwing his first of how many touchdowns?
He threw three on the day. This was his second in as many drives, and he did the big flex after that. Like he was like 8 minutes into his college career. Like, yeah, this is my house, bitch.
He take off his helmet and he looks like a Precious Moments doll.
Yeah, no, he was cooking. I don't know if UVA's any. I don't know if UVA can be good, but holy shit, they got a hype dude. They got a guy.
We haven't had a true like capital W capital E white excellence quarterback in a long time. And this is a strong candidate, and we're gonna get him for a couple more years at least, hopefully.
Is Cam Rising count?
He might be. He might be the previous throne holder.
Yeah, I don't know. This dude is something different. I am looking.
No, this is not Stetson Bennett erasure, dude. You listen. Go watch the stage. You'll see.
That's a different kind of white.
I would like to read a score and then move on and say nothing else about it, if that's all right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Missouri 23, Middle Tennessee 19.
It's not good.
Okay, so with 9:41 left in the fourth, Oregon State is up 55-0 on UC Davis. Look at that.
I want to commend Fansville, now in apparently year six of this production, for the realignment ad where the two fans are departing to go to different conferences. And it's like a breakup, and they get into an argument about recruiting. And the guy on the bus, his last line is, yeah, well, our academic standards are so high. And it's this pause where it's like, are they going to cut back to her? And she's like, nuh-uh, ours are higher. But they don't do that.
Nope.
They just end with him being the sad bitch who's defaulting to academics as if that shit matters. And like, yes, you get it, Fansville, you get it. Like, academics are the punchline here. Academics are the joke. Anyone who says, but our academics, is a loser. Like, yes, it's Fansville, we are still in good hands. We still trust you.
We're still kind of mad that you never let us world build for you, but
it happens. That's all right.
You keep giving the "that's his Dr. Pepper hand girl" work, and for that, we praise you.
Another score I'm just going to read, and we'll say nothing about it. Kentucky 28, Eastern Kentucky 17.
That's not good either.
God, the SEC East had a real fucking weird day today.
You think it was the hail? Oh, there was a monster hailstorm at whoever Temple was playing. Who was Temple playing?
Temple was playing Rutgers. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, we're going over all these scores, and I'm like, well, we beat McNeese. I'm pretty happy.
2-0 Rutgers, baby.
Hey, so you know who did score 25 points against Utah State? That'd be Idaho State. Iowa didn't, but
wow.
Anyway, what about the SEC East?
It got weird. It got weird all over the place. You just read Kentucky's score.
Yep.
Georgia played a game.
Georgia did that thing where they did nothing. Like, Georgia's sleepy first quarter set in, and then they scored 31 in the second quarter, so you could safely turn it off. So, like, Georgia did us the courtesy of not making it so that we did not have to keep checking in on Georgia, and I appreciate that.
I think Kirby does this on purpose. Like, I think Kirby's like, you know what?
Mark did it too. Georgia against a sub Power 5 opponent in the first quarter in Athens, is you might as well not show up.
I think this is a thing Georgia does on purpose to like prop up message boards in seasons where Georgia looks really good, but the schedule's not that interesting. And it's just like, all right, we're going to go out there. We're going to fart around for 15 minutes, and that's going to get the message board posters all hot and bothered. And that's how we're going to keep the third most important part of our economy alive.
Kirby Smart, our socialist king. Thank you, Bro Bromo.
There's a chance this team is not worth glancing at until the postseason.
No. Yeah.
Because, like, okay, maybe just looking at the schedule, like, okay, maybe Ole Miss is a little bit better than we thought.
Not
that much.
Hard South to Carolina's. Say. Yeah. Ole Miss played a weird game today, too.
I'm emphasizing. Yeah. Maybe and a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, Tennessee, maybe not quite what we hoped. Florida, obviously not what we hoped. Auburn.
I'm sorry. 1-1.
1-1
South Carolina a step lower than we've hoped. So like Georgia's schedule started as looking not very difficult, and it's growing less difficult by the minute.
I think that's neighborly of everyone around.
We're gonna
but that's because they don't play in a tough conference like the Pac-12.
Or the Big 12, where Texas is.
That's right.
We're going to get some of the best transitive victory chains out of this. Like, so good.
Or wait. So we're barely into the season. Alabama's lost to a non-conference team. LSU's lost to a non-conference team. Mm-hmm. Both in ways that are like, ugh, don't feel great about that.
Yeah.
Like, do we get to write the... Actually, the SEC's not that good this year. Do we get to do that? Is it time
for
that?
Fuck, ship it.
Yes.
Let's do it. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. The SEC fucking sucks.
SEC, third best conference. Maybe fourth.
If that. Means
fourth.
Yeah, let's go.
Hey,
it just means moribund.
It leans more because it's structurally unsound.
Speaking of moribund and lean, have we done UNC yet?
A&M lost out of conference. Vandy was the winningest school in the conference. They lost out of conference.
Mm-hmm. Lost to Wake Forest.
Wake Forest looks fine. Wake Forest looks fine.
Yeah.
This conference is sick and sucks and
garbage.
Trash.
Oklahoma is 2-0. Nobody look at that.
Cal just picked Auburn, by the way.
Yes.
In case you just
Yes. More proof of the decay of the nation's former greatest football conference.
You know what we need to restore this SEC to glory is a religion. We need moral leadership. We need to replace Greg Sankey with some sort of clergy.
Or we need to get Ohio State to join the SEC. That would work too.
I'll tell you what, if I'm Texas and Oklahoma, I'm looking at this conference like, no thanks. Changing my mind a little bit.
I'm going back to the Pac-12 where they play football.
I'm excited for Texas to immediately come in and be like, Jesus, we got to do everything again? Oh,
we really got to clean this place up.
God, here we are slumming it once more.
I do like, by the way, this set up a great storyline that you guys have just uncovered for me, which is that Texas gets to come in and they get to be like, well, it's time to teach you boys how to play real football.
Teach you a thing or two about football. I think Texas should roll up and launch the Longhorn Network again.
Yeah. Just on their own. Just crowdsource that shit.
We're sick of sharing money with these poors.
Texas, I'm confident you can broadcast on LinkedIn. We can do it. You can do it.
We will help you, Texas.
This is the best. They're going to go in, and they're going to come in, and it'll actually be, like, partially true, right? Like, hey, it looks like you guys need our help, and they'll fall to shit again. They'll go, like, 4-8, baby.
Oh, no, Sark took the Broncos job. We're fucked.
There's no way to replace Sark. So it's only when Texas is actually trying to prove something that they're good. Like, mm-hmm. once their hubris level is back to normal Texas hubris levels, that's when they fall apart.
Yeah.
Oh man, we might even be able to bet this in season, right? Who does Texas play next? That's what I need to know. Who do they play next week?
It's a lesser opponent next week, I believe.
Let's see. Next week they are playing Wyoming.
Oh dear.
But not in Wyoming. Not in Wyoming.
Yeah,
no, the rest of the schedule for Texas is like,
it's a lot of B-plus challenges.
Yeah, like Oklahoma, I will charitably say, is like a question mark at this point. Houston just lost Rice. I think Kansas is a very scrappy team, and Kansas has certainly given Texas a lot of fucking problems over the years. Kansas State is a question mark. TCU, not great. Iowa State sucks. Texas Tech, yeah, you kind of suck too. Like,
there are a lot of I'm seeing a lot of teams where you could see a lot of explicable losses, but also the kind of losses that would immediately eject you from the playoff conversation.
Yeah.
I think a lot of these teams will normalize a little bit.
I think you're right.
Probably.
Or Alabama's going to lose 5 games and this won't mean shit.
Well, that part is true. I mean, Texas is going to need some quality wins at some point on this schedule. They've beaten Rice. That's a good win.
A friend of the program, our work grandson, Richard Johnson, was in Tuscaloosa tonight. Do we know if he was going with his Bama 3 loss ride again this week?
Unclear. I don't listen to NFL podcasts.
Fair enough. I'll find out.
You know what's setting up to be a very interesting game in a couple weeks? Notre Dame, Ohio State.
Oh boy.
Like
I think I've heard about those teams.
Like, I regret to say that Sam Hartman is really it has made me realize how underwhelming the quality of quarterbacking has been at Notre Dame for a long time. Cause like Sam Hartman's just fucking great. Brady Quinn has the single season record at Notre Dame with 37 passing touchdowns. And like Sam Hartman's definitely gonna blow that shit away. No question.
Which means like how this is the weirdest part is that like how hard is he gonna get gassed up? I bet he gets like less gas from like people trying to like pump him up than all of Notre Dame's sort of homegrown QBs, because they're like, you know, we're just kind of renting him. He's not
you're not our real son.
Yeah. Like, just they're so probably the only people in the world like slightly uncomfortable with this, right? Like, maybe.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe
like,
Michigan would
Catholic
too.
Catholic converts are the weirdest people in the world. So. Wait.
Ryan Day blamed the new clock rules for only putting up 35 on Youngstown State.
Man, I gotta say, this is.
I know we did this rant last week, but didn't
we? We're really stretching the clock.
What can't you blame on the clock rule at this point? Fucking right.
No.
You can't blame throwing two picks to the Texas defense and running headlong into a pass rusher.
Sure you can.
Little more time, Bama could
He could have thrown three interceptions.
Right. With a little more time, Tommy Rees would have called some more bullshit runs up the middle.
I think this is what Chris Nolan's Tenet film was about.
I'm just never going to recover from hearing Bama fans booing runs up the middle.
Like, yeah.
What a world we have entered.
Is that when we got
that used to be all they wanted?
Is this what we want football to be, guys?
We no longer want football to be that. The idiot from Notre Dame is trying to make football the thing we used to want.
I do get that argument, though, that they're like, yeah, Tommy went to Notre Dame. I don't trust him. I need a man who understands what it takes to make a program sing. Somebody who went to Troy. Somebody who went to Texas State. I need somebody with coaching experience from FIU and the CFL. I want to see some real numbers on there.
Not some papers.
I need someone who's been fired by the Bengals or whatever.
Yeah. I want the third best running back coach in the NFC South.
I want Freddie Kitchens. That's who I want. God damn it.
Bring Freddie home.
You know who understands throwing for 250, two TDs, and two interceptions in a loss? That's right. Freddie Kitchens.
Probably the most organic Freddie Kitchens content we've ever done. It's Freddie Kitchens week.
That damn Tommy Rees needs some meat on his fucking bones. Look at him. How the hell is he going to call an offense if he can't
eat a burger, City Mouse?
And you can't even call in an order.
He looks too healthy. I need you to be sick. Sick. I need you to look sick, because you know what I want you to look like? That you're sick of losing.
If you don't smoke, you don't care.
He's the wrong kind of sick. He's sick like a dying page at Agincourt. When he needs to be sick, like, I've smoked 17 cartons of Virginia Slims.
That Tommy Rees got a French body. I don't like it.
Oh, my God. There's the game day sign. Tommy Rees looks French.
Yeah. You know what offensive... You know what offensive excellence is? I want you to look like David Cutcliffe in the booth. seconds from plunging head first to end this torment we call existence. Hey. That's what I want my offensive coordinator.
Now that's a run
like.
Up the middle. I would cheer. It's like they were accusing him of stealing valor or something. What the hell? What the hell's he know of running up the middle? He don't know a damn thing about running up no damn
middle.
What
is this, Pickett's charge?
God.
And
we're just 2 weeks away from Alabama playing their most annoying former nephew, Lane Kiffin.
I'm pretty sure we're platforms into Tulane today.
If we immediately go from Nick Saban always beats his assistants. He just always does it. He can't
beat any of his
Nick
assistants.
Saban is beset on all sides by increasingly powerful son.
Do Sark and Lane both beat Bama at home this year before before the end of fucking September? My God.
And then And then he loses to Jimbo in a typical 7-5 Jimbo year with a win over Bama. That's every Jimbo season.
Let's do a little caricature with like, let's do like a Mr. Mom thing with Nick on the cover of Sports Illustrated, just kind of shrugging. And Sark is sitting on one of his feet with his arms and legs wrapped around his leg, and Lane is on the other one. And Jimbo's coming up behind him with a frying pan and an apron and his little turtle glasses.
Sark beating Nick Saban with 700 pounds of defensive tackle in the middle and a great quarterback and two wide receivers or two receivers capable of shredding that defense. Noteworthy, chuckle worthy.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin's
going to be like, I ordered everything Wile E. Coyote ever bought.
Lane Kiffin's gonna be like your friend who's like, yeah, so I'm taking Krav Maga, I'm also taking Eskrima, the Filipino art of fighting with a newspaper in the streets, I'm also reading the memoirs of the man who trained the SAS by getting his ass kicked in Hong Kong, I'm also practicing judo.
Do you do any cardio? No, cardio is no, for the weak.
My cardio is fighting.
Dude, he's skinny too, so I think he's actually got a lady spending the night this year.
Oh yeah, no, he's looking great, which probably means he could spend more time on that bullshit.
Someone in that house is putting sunscreen on the back of his neck, and you know it's not him.
Nick Saban is looking at Alabama's schedule, and it's just click holes. Which one of my garbage sons are you thinking?
Lane, the dreaded Laramie.
Either Lane or Jimbo is the dreaded Laramie. Actually, right now, Sark has the dreaded Laramie title. See if anyone can take it.
Oh my God! No, Lane is the Chris Fleming child. Is the child in Chris Fleming's Structured Hats song? Lane's gonna take Olivia Coleman to hell.
In the chat, BuzzLH13 has the most haunting three words I've ever seen strung together, which is "Capoeira Lane Kiffin."
Can we imagine Lane? How does Lane pronounce capoeira?
Capoeira.
Capybara.
Capybara.
We're doing a lot of capybara.
Just copy borrow. Yes.
While you were out winning football games, Lane Kiffin studied the plane.
Did you guys know Bloodsport's based on a true story?
It's a documentary. It was filmed in real time.
Oh God. Yeah. This is gonna, whatever he does in that game is going to be a delight. An absolute.
I don't want to go.
No.
Kinda, yeah.
No. No.
I said kind of.
It's like, speaking of things that are wild about this Bama loss, it's wild that we are just not worried about Bama bouncing back angrier than ever. Because that's been the trope for over a decade now. And we're just like, nah, they're fucking cooked.
Because we finally, you know, I'm just taking this moment to bask in the happiness. Because what have we always wanted? It hasn't been about liking Bama or just liking Bama. We just wanted something fucking different to happen.
Yeah.
Well, this was different.
This is different.
Yeah. I'm too happy living in the moment to worry about week three. Oh, man.
I mean, I have never been like tired of the Bama thing. Like, it's been interesting all throughout. It's just, it's fascinating to look up and like, we're not doing the, oh man, these boys are going to catch hell in practice and next week they're going to beat a team by a billion thing.
Mm-hmm. What would be really funny is if they wasted all their rage on South Florida and then fell really flat at home against Ole Miss.
This is the first time that it's not like finally someone has unlocked the secret of how to beat Nick Saban. They've successfully found the Minotaur's weakness. It's like, no, just Bama didn't look great. That's it. The end.
Yeah, this is also like, this is the culmination of so many like really bad things. Like bad things that normally sink other programs where you're like, oh, they lost their defensive coordinator. That's fine. We'll just get another one. Well, they lost their offensive coordinator. That's fine. We'll get another one. We'll get three other ones. We'll get four other ones.
They just lost the number one overall quarterback. That's fine.
Yeah.
We'll
get another one.
Yeah.
It like they were on so many different runs that are all hard to maintain at once, right? Like offensive line. Let's just go back to something real pedestrian, right? Like the offensive line, the guys, the big dudes who hit people who stand in front of the skill players. Guess what? They're not as good as they once were. You managed to do that for the better part of 15 years.
The fucked up thing is that they could still win the rest of their games.
Still
like,
trash.
But it will feel effortful, let's say. I don't see a situation where Bama does the thing it's done before where it's like, nope, murder machine, go blast. Like, I think it will be like, all right, yeah, they can win 10 games. They can win 11 games, but it's going to be a lot of like, ooh, thank God Mississippi State fucked that up at the end. Or
also, whatever. Like, looking at this schedule, it's funny. Every schedule I look at, I'm like, wow, all these teams are bad now. Like, okay, so A&M, trash, obvious. LSU, trash. Like every team on their schedule, other than Ole Miss, I guess, has gone down a bit. I don't know how in the world every team is pulling this
because they're not playing any Pac-12 teams. That's why.
They don't have any religious leadership.
If they just
raised from the comments, thank you, PJ. Pete Golding revenge game.
Good God.
Grim, beautiful specter.
Bama should hire Paul Johnson. Make Milroe run the option. That's honestly not the worst idea I've heard. He's good at moving. He's good at chucking the fucking pill.
Also, last time, clearly, these kids need somebody. These kids need a disciplinarian coach. They're going to listen to.
I am sure there's somebody I am not thinking of, but like I'm really struggling to remember somebody who could like throw a really clean, pretty, often well placed deep ball, but like. Running back running, you know, 6 yards up the sideline can miss that pass consistently. I'm like, oh, wait, this is Rex Grossman, isn't it?
Fuck. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You just Rex Grossman except your own he can riddle. Run.
Yeah.
It's only Fierce Punch.
Captain Fierce Punch in the house.
It's fine.
Yeah. Update just for y'all. I think last time we checked in, USC was leading 35-0.
It's more than nothing. That now.
USC, don't play with your food.
No, it's 49.
It's 49-3 now.
Entering halftime.
And Caleb Williams has 300 yards and 3 TDs.
Jesus Christ.
At halftime.
Caleb Williams has as many incompletions as he does touchdowns. What the fuck?
Mind you, this is the team the ACC wants. The team losing this game.
South Carolina, that's going to go over well. Mm-hmm. USC has 433 yards of offense at halftime.
Oh, you mean USC West?
Yeah.
Not the real USC.
USC that fucked around with Thurman.
Wait, is Caleb still in the game? Are they stupid?
I mean, I assume that it doesn't seem untowards to be like he'll play the first half, but I bet they'll pull him after that.
I'm probably just gun shy after watching Kitchens get carted off tonight, but. Yikes, man, sit him.
So wait, is everybody else in the state of Texas having a terrible time except for the
Rice?
Longhorns? I get, yeah, you're right. Rice is having a fine
Rice,
time.
Rice, which has lost, which has lost to Texas.
There was some other Texas squirreliness today. If you scroll down the card, and did you see what became of UTEP?
UTEP lost to Northwestern 38-7.
Uh-huh.
So that's,
how can you read that so calmly?
It's UTEP, and UTEP is full of many things.
They're... No, it's Northwestern.
It's difficult to lose to Northwestern, but
yeah.
UTEP is the kind of bad that is capable of losing to anyone.
Mm. UTSA came back to beat a Texas State team that we were all thrilled about last week.
Yes,
so.
Right.
Texas Tech has gotten off. They're 0-2. And both of those losses are like soul wrenching.
Yeah, could easily be 2-0.
Easily
with a win over fucking Oregon, except they fucked it up.
They're two bad moments away from being 2-0, and both of those moments are the kind that like people dance on your grave about.
Baylor's 0-2 in similarly like what the fuck fashion. Yeah, like I don't remember the last time it was like, yep, it's good to be Texas and nobody else in the state of Texas.
That's literally nothing makes them happier than that.
Yeah. Cowboys are going to win the Super Bowl.
Dak attack. Hey, he done learned from them Navy SEALs.
Dak and his 12-hour anesthesia tattoo.
That has Daffy Duck in it.
Yeah, Ryan and I were discussing this before y'all got on, but like, this is the weirdest rich guy shit I've ever heard.
I will say it here on the recording, but I need Dak Prescott to understand that if he had very tragically died while under anesthesia to get a Daffy Duck tattoo, the internet would flame him for the next 200 years. It would never let him alone. His spirit would never find peace.
if he had passed, he would have had to add a Dak Prescott memorial to the leg full of.
He could put that on his other leg, like playing and pointing to the first leg. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like I see you, right leg. I have a question, and I say this as a grown adult who was thrilled to learn in the year 2022 that you can still get TAS on your checks at some banks. Is Daffy Duck hard?
Huh.
Is Daffy Duck like tough?
I don't think so. I don't think
well,
so.
Tough, yes.
I lived through the first Space Jam era, and I don't recall him being what?
It's not that Daffy Duck is tough. It's that he's
definitely tough. He's survived like lots of gunshots to the face and shit.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. He's tough as hell.
But he's like, if you are the quarterback for a team that is perpetually like, God, why can't we get it done when it counts? Why would you pick Daffy fucking Duck?
Can I tease that thread out a little bit more?
Sure.
What if I were like Daffy Duck, originally the main character, but had been reduced to a lucrative, amusing, but ultimately kind of pathetic sideshow? Ryan, would this have anything to do with the Dallas Cowboys as a franchise?
I think the only funnier thing would be if Daniel Jones revealed that he had like a full Elmer Fudd back piece.
Like I would love this if it was Taz, right? Like,
sure, yes, Marvin Taz. The Martian would even work. Fuck it,
yeah. But I'm like, Daffy's just cranky.
Sexy Bugs and Drag. Get that.
Ooh, Sexy Bugs and Drag, but dressed as the Virgin Mary.
Yeah. What if the Gangster Baby? That one.
Yeah.
Tumblr's going crazy. Yeah. Joe Burrow has a Lola Bunny tattoo.
Yeah.
Listen, Joe Burrow and Lola Bunny have been mistaken for one another, and this is really something you can tell them apart in a bounce.
I guarantee that's a popular pairing on certain corners of the internet.
I did like that after Joe Burrow signed his.
Did commenter say Donald Duck is a powerful mage?
No, it's true.
I did like that after
dark magic in him.
After Joe Burrow signed his record-breaking contract, LSU put out a fake check that made it look as if Joe Burrow was writing himself a $257 or whatever million-dollar check, which it feels very Louisiana to be like, yeah, immediately do fraud with this. That's the thing to do.
That's how checks work.
Spencer, is it time to bring back Los Tweety Boys?
Yeah, we should bring back Los Tweety Boys.
Okay.
It's time.
Seems like society is calling for it.
Yeah.
I can find the picture from Los Tweety Boys.
Yeah. Also, by the way, Dak had the team get together to like learn the leadership lessons of the Navy SEALs, which is how I know that this man is going through his like Jocko Willink Huberman podcast era.
His Tiger Woods post divorce era.
Yeah, I gotta expand my mind. My body is caught up, but the mind is the ultimate weapon. Yeah, he's in that.
I want you to lock me in a suitcase in the bottom of this pool. That's how I'm gonna learn how to win past the wild card round.
Yeah, I sleep 14 hours a night on a $50,000 bed, and I threw 3 picks against the fucking Packers.
This is a questionable art of Tweety Bird on the internet. I'm not even into the sex stuff. He just looks unsavory.
I'm sorry, Dak. We're just mad that Mississippi State fucked up our perfect Pac-12 day.
They did. Damn it.
Yeah, taking it all out on Dak.
They're taking it out on you, and it's not fair.
Also, I hope your leg goes down, because the last thing I want is to be like, is the big leg affecting Dak's play? The swollen tattoo leg, which we will just heretofore call the big leg, aka the drumstick, is affecting his mobility. I got this.
Oh, he's got the Daffy leg.
He's got the foghorn leghorn leg.
I'll say.
He looks like he has food poisoning.
Yeah, I just hope he doesn't get the big leg, because you know that would only make the story of the Cowboys even funnier. Anyway, did we have anything else that we missed before we round the corner into this show's conclusion?
It's only 12:30.
Oh, somebody said, wasn't there a game played on the CW? There was. Yes. Cincinnati beat Pitt 27-21 in that game.
And a plucky girl on the sideline decided when confronted by her two boyfriends that she chose herself.
That plucky girl, Phil Jerkovich, who
is Holly playing Switch. Of course I'm playing Switch. What are you, why?
Yeah, so Pitt's now 1-1 and definitely wants to play Penn State at ASAP. Bring him on. Oh God, next week is Pitt at West Virginia and they both are just going to be in the worst fucking mood.
I don't want to talk about it.
I
might not be here next week.
We are, West Virginia won today. They beat Duquesne. That doesn't matter. We have entered the stage of Neil Brown's tenure at West Virginia, where if you talk about any coach in college football, West Virginia fans will appear and make it about how Neil Brown fucking sucks somehow. It's amazing.
Which in itself is useless, because if you've taken a look at what the rest of the West Virginia university system is doing right now, I don't think he's going anywhere for a minute.
You know what? If you want to get rid of Neil Brown, convince him that he's an English teacher. They'll get his ass out real quick.
Yeah, yeah. Tell him he's been handing out books in the locker room. They'll get his ass booted.
Neil Brown's part of the foreign language department. Oh, well, shit. He's fucking fired. Someone asked us to drop the Auburn Cal score. I think that game is still at halftime. Cal still
it is. It's halftime, 10-7 Cal.
10-7 Cal forever, Auburn never.
Scores of interest. Eastern Washington and Fresno State are tied.
Sure.
Going down to the end.
Sure. Yeah, that's all we got.
Jeff Sims, a millstone around the neck of this Nebraska team.
He was so mad.
Wow.
I got bad news for everybody who's like, they got to make a quarterback change. Buddy, they need a lot. they need a whole fucking lot.
But here's the worst part. They already did.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This was the change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. I'm pretty sure the next option is like fullback. Fullback what throw?
Gorilla Grodd.
You're just jealous of my superior gorilla technology, Colorado.
Also, I think it's very funny that Michael Irvin was at the Colorado game today while Miami was playing this big game against Texas. Like, there are Miami fans who are like, what the fuck? This makes us look fucking stupid. God damn
it. Well, shit. I mean, the fucking Wu-Tang Clan was at the game while Rutgers was playing.
That's true. You won't believe how many washed dads are going to enter the transfer portal and go to Colorado now.
I saw so many people who were like, older folks on Twitter who were like, oh, this is it. This is a game changer. And it's like none of those recruits have ever heard of the Wu-Tang Clan.
There are people named Raekwon who don't know why they're named Raekwon.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yes. I'm named after like an old soul singer or something.
Yeah. We got one thing, by the way, I do want to do this to shout out our friends at the Big Sky, which is this. Can we get a Big Sky update? Hell yeah, you can get a Big Sky update.
Wow, okay.
So, unfortunately, in the game of the century, Montana State fell just short. Nearly took down number one South Dakota State, but our boys will get him in Frisco.
They did. I will say also in terms of the biggest of the biggest guys in the Big Sky, Montana, 43-13 winners over Utah Tech.
That's the same sky.
Yes, the biggest of big skies in the Big Sky, Montana.
Betty,
same sky as Montana State. Next week, however, next week is the Big Sky week, folks. Next week is the one on the FCS upset draft with Split Zone Duo. I picked three Big Sky teams to win FBS.
Did we skate over the Big Sky getting an FBS win this week?
This week,
yeah. Idaho beat Nevada.
Oh yeah!
Oh yeah! That counts. Yeah.
Yeah. They fucking kicked their ass 33-6.
By quite a bit. Yeah. Idaho is a really exciting team. Like for any FBS teams who don't win a lot and who are being stubborn about going down a level, you should look at how Idaho's doing, because they're having a really great time. Like, they might have the best passing attack in FCS. So, like, you know, if you're one of these tweeners that you're debating whether to drop down a level. Idaho went sort of kicking and screaming, but at this point, it's working out just fine for them.
You know what conference Idaho used to be a member of? Pac-12.
Several.
Come on home.
That's right.
Something to think about.
That's right. That's how good the Pac-12 is this year, that even the former long gone members are fucking rising up.
Mm-hmm.
Go Vandals.
Something to think about.
Yep.
A danger to everyone around him. Careless with his projectiles, negligent with his ball handling, an affront to me, football, and the entire state of Nebraska. Joel Klatt, what you got?
Gus, I think you need to.
I'd be ashamed of him.
Tell you to dial it down a little bit.
Ha ha!
How long has it been since you've had a drink of water?
Goodbye.
Well, that's our show, folks.
Okay.
Yeah. Goodbye.
Good night, everybody. You did it.
Good night.
We're proud of you.
Nice. Love you. Thank you, LinkedIn.
Just remember, you don't play for Alabama, so you didn't lose.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? The things you know make you feel better, even when it's impossible to make time for them. Like that workout you try to squeeze in between kids' activities, work, and everything else you have going on, and before you know it, it gets pushed to tomorrow. Sound familiar? But it's the moments when you feel like you have no time for yourself when those non-negotiables are more important than ever. Those are the things that keep you strong, healthy, motivated, and prepared to take on everything life demands of you. So why not make therapy one of them? BetterHelp Online Therapy makes it easy to get started with affordable phone, video, or live chat sessions you can do from anywhere, and the option to message your therapist between sessions if anything comes up. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com.